brothers and sisters, serve humanity, obey those who are around us, because that's what's going to bring us to the betterment of society. And seeing it in this particular way, there's never going to be zulm as well. You're never going to mistreat or misuse someone else's kindness, because that would lead to zulm and oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will close 7 doors of hell for a wife who serves her husband, and open 7 doors of heaven in which she chooses any of these doors to enter. All these ahadith that speak about even bringing a cup of water for your husband and the reward that you will receive for doing so. How you need to remember to keep your husband happy. How you need to remember that the difficulties that you go through is the jihad that you have. Jihadul mar'ati husnu taba'uli li zawjiha. The jihad of a wife is good husbandry, for her to be a good wife. Then we need to remember that you need to, as a wife, you always need to accommodate to your husband in everything that it is that he wants from you, that are within your understanding of your rights as a wife, of his rights as a husband, whether they be emotional needs, whether they be moral needs, whether they be spiritual needs, whether they be physical needs, whether they be the intimate needs that a husband might have. And remembering to stay away from wronging your husband, from disobeying your husband. Of course, that's why it says that if a husband was to sleep and she knows that he is in the right and she is in the wrong, and she doesn't seek forgiveness from him, tal'anuha malaikatu samai wal ardh, the angels of heavens and earth will curse her until he wakes up.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafati, ought to be in 2 volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
How about imra'atun sabarat ala su'i khuluqi zawjiha? This is the kind of woman, this is the kind of person who will yarfa'u Allahu anhunna al'adhab al-qabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove any punishment that she would have received in her qabr. And also wahasha wa kuna mahsharuhunna ma'a Fatima bint Muhammad. If you are patient towards some kind of mistreatment from your husband, but you overlook it for the sake of a greater good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you the best of rewards. This is why if you were to wrong him as well, if he was to do something bad to you, you don't do the same thing back to him. أَيَّمَا إِمْرَأَةٍ آذَتْ زَوْجَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا. If a woman, if a wife was to hurt her husband with her tongue, verbally hurt her husband, لَمْ يَقْبَلَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْهَا صُرْفَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept anything from her. أَيَّمَا إِمْرَأَةٍ بَاتَتْ وَزَوْجُهَا عَلَيْهَا صَاخِطْ. Anyone, any wife who sleeps at night time and her husband is angry towards her, fi haqqin, and it is his haqq, not her haqq, lam tuqbal minha salatun hatta yarda anha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept salah from her until he is happy with her. What's this? What does this kind of teach us? It explains to us that it's very bad and negative for you to prolong that za'al period, that being unhappy period from with one another. You know, we don't believe in the silence treatment and ignoring the other person, teaching them a lesson and all these other things. No, something happens, solve it and fix it then and there. Don't allow it to prolong and extend, especially to the night time, especially for the next day. That's the kind of understanding that we are able to extract from all of these riwayat from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. The important thing that the pillar of Islam, the pillar of marriage in Islam, is based on number one, inner peace, harmony, tranquility. Number two, compassion and affection towards one another. And number three is mercy. To show mercy, to receive mercy. You can only do that if you forgive, if you forget, if you overlook, if you remember that marriage is sacred and you continue on with your partnership for the rest of your life. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi khalqillahi Muhammad wa alihi tahireen.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time. Memories fade like a dusty window pane, and you can't see your past no more. The only thing that remains is that feeling of warmth in your heart that will always be there, be there.
Around the World with Reporters.
Israeli forces have escalated their arrest campaigns throughout the occupied territories as a fragile ceasefire halts in the besieged Gaza Strip following an 11-day Israeli airstrikes on the enclave. Tens of Palestinians were detained by Israeli forces in raids across the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem Al-Quds early Monday. The Palestinian Prisoner Club Association expects more arrests to be reported within the coming days.
Israel's occupation project has not ended yet. These arrests are aimed at draining the energy of the Palestinian people who are determined to resist Israel. The Israeli authorities think that by adopting aggressive measures, they can refrain the consciousness of the Palestinian people.
Over the past days, Israeli forces have arrested hundreds of Palestinians in lands occupied in 1948. Moreover, the Israeli police announced it arrested 1,550 Palestinians in the past 2 weeks in areas such Haifa, Yaffa, Lod, Ramli, and Kfar Kanna, towns in occupied lands amid tension over Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip. These areas have witnessed the protests against Israeli aggression on Palestinians in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and the Gaza Strip. These protests have been attacked by both the Israeli police and settlers, and many of the Palestinians' shops and vehicles have been smashed.
Israel tries to oppress the Palestinians through arresting them so that they can't remain united in their resistance against the Israeli occupation.
Tension escalated across the Palestinian territory since last month over Israel's attempt to ethnically cleanse Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in Jerusalem Al-Quds from Palestinian families in favor of settlement groups. The situation flared up after Israeli forces raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque and assaulted worshippers inside. Observers say Israel has declared war against Palestinians because they have dared to resist its colonial project and demand freedom. However, amid its failure to silence the Palestinians during its aggression against Gaza, Israel escalates mass arrests, thinking it might bring them to their knees. Mona Kandil, Occupied Ramallah.
Iran and the International Atomic Energy Agency agree to extend for a further month a temporary technical understanding, allowing the agency to continue necessary verification and monitoring work in the country. IAEA Director General Rafael Mariano Grossi said the information collected by the agency's equipment in different locations in Iran would be saved and would continue to be held in the Islamic Republic.
Temporary technical understanding is a sort of a stopgap measure. It's something that we came up with as a way to avoid, flying completely blind, losing essential information to allow us, hopefully, if those levels of access are restored for us, so that we can reconstruct what may have been happening.
According to the understanding initially reached in February, Iran would erase the recorded data once the agreement expires and negotiations to revive the nuclear deal with world powers, known as the JCPOA, fail to reach a conclusion that would effectively remove U.S. sanctions.
We'll keep in touch, monitoring the situation, if I may say so, we will discuss what to do according to the circumstances. We are talking about June 24th. I suppose you will agree with me that from now to June 24th, there will be a lot of things happening on that front. And then we will have to come to a joint understanding between us what to do.
Iran's ambassador to the agency, Kazem Gharibabadi, said in a statement, the data collected over the past 3 months is still in the custody of the Iranian Atomic Energy Organization and will not be transferred to the IAEA.
Gharibabadi urged countries engaged in the process of talks to revive the JCPOA to make use of this opportunity that's been provided by Iran in good faith in order to effectively and verifiably remove sanctions. Homolezki, Vienna.
The war of words between former top aide Dominic Cummings and the British Prime Minister has intensified. In a volley of tweets on the weekend, Cummings described Britain's early plan to combat the coronavirus pandemic as a disaster. Perhaps the most contentious of his allegations, the Johnson government's initial official strategy in March last year to achieve herd immunity without a vaccine. In other words, to let the virus rip through the population in order for people to build natural immunity, an allegation the government denies.
And you now admit as government that herd immunity was the policy until March?
Not at all, no. Absolutely not. Our policy, from the outset, Andrew, the policy and the strategy...
So why is Dominic Cummings telling us that's true?
Well, I can't speak for Mr. Cummings.
When he was fired last year, Cummings took a large amount of documents with him, allegedly proving his allegations. He will appear in the British Parliament on May 26, where he is expected to present what he has called crucial historical evidence.
But Dominic Cummings to come out now and say that was a load of rubbish and it was dangerous begs the question, why didn't he say that now, when he was in a position advising the government?
But why has Cummings, who played an important role in Boris Johnson's successful 2019 election campaign and was also the architect of Britain's campaign to leave the European Union, lashing out at his former boss?
He feels extremely sore, having been sacked from his position as Boris Johnson's chief advisor. So I think there's a question of personal revenge does come into it. But how far does Yoru want to push this? Does he want to push it to is it danger of toppling Boris Johnson? I suspect not.
Three lockdowns, more than 128,000 deaths, and a deep economic slump since the start of the pandemic. The British Prime Minister has hailed his government's vaccination program as a success. The question now is whether that parliamentary committee put Boris Johnson's security of tenure ahead of his responsibility for allowing the COVID-19 outbreak to soar in communities across the UK in the spring and summer of last year. Saeed Puriza, London.
Public outpouring against Israel in Pakistan. The streets of the mega city of Karachi flooded with protesters in solidarity with Palestinians. There is no letup to anti-Israel protest in this 220 million populated Muslim country after Israel attacked and desecrated Islam's third holiest site in the eastern Jerusalem al-Quds and imposed a unilateral war on Gaza. The huge collateral and human losses in the latest round of one-sided war imposed on unarmed Palestinians has once again become a rallying point to unify people from all segments of the society in Pakistan to join hands to protest against Israel.
We thank to Allah. Today people in every Muslim country stand by Palestinians. And by God willing, we would continue our war against Israel until we liberate Al-Quds Mosque.
The anti-Israel protests have been swelling in Pakistan despite a fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas administration in Gaza. Pakistan's government is feeling the heat of public pressure, which is reflected in country's foreign minister's rare and blunt remarks about Western media outlets on how they have been whitewashing war crimes of Israel against Palestinians.
Israel is losing out. They're losing the media war despite their connections. They are losing the media war. The tide is turning.
What are their connections?
Deep pockets.
What does that mean?
Well, they're very influential people. I mean, they control media.
I would call that an anti-Semitic remark.
Pakistan has rejected criticism of pro-Israeli lobbies and Western media, claiming that country's foreign minister's remarks were anti-Semitic. On the contrary, foreign minister's analogy about nexus between Israel and Western media has been welcomed across the Muslim world. Islamabad says the Western media has been covering up the massacre of Palestinians by propagating it as Israel's right of self-defense. On the other hand, whenever leaders of the Muslim countries speak truth about Israel's aggression and apartheid state's overgrown influence on Western media to whitewash its war crimes, they call it anti-Semitic. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
Bishop Talbot Swan, a highly respected civil rights activist, expressed the sympathy and solidarity among the African American community for the Palestinians as outrage over Israel's actions has continued to grow.
If any people should resonate with what's going on in Palestine, it's black people in America. Even when we look at what's happening on the streets in our nation, many police departments across America actually go to Israel to be trained by the military in so-called counterterrorism strategies. And then they come here into black communities and employ those strategies on black citizens. So we fully understand their struggle. It resonates with us, and we stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people.
For many, the fact the U.S. government funds Israel while reparations owed to black Americans have yet to be paid is hypocritical.
They can find nearly $4 billion a year to give to Israel, but they can't find any money to give to African Americans who descended from enslaved Africans. It's a travesty. It's a shame. And we're not asking for a handout. We're not asking for you to do us a favor. That's money that is owed. That's a debt that the United States has yet to pay.
Like many faith leaders, Bishop Swan reiterated his continued support for the Palestinians in the face of racist apartheid.
Oppressed people all over the world are watching what's happening. We are standing in solidarity with you. We are pushing and pressing for governmental structures to condemn the violence, to stop the funding of terrorism, because that's exactly what it is. And we want them to remain steadfast, to be strong, and to know that we are behind them.
The demands for the U.S. to stop funding Palestinian oppression and to implement justice for Black America will continue as long as the status quo remains in place. Support for the Palestinians has undoubtedly intensified, with millions of people around the world condemning Israel, demanding an end to the occupation of Palestine. Richard Sudam, London.
With less than a month to go until the presidential election in Iran, people are discussing about the policies the next president must follow to solve the problems. Out of over 400 contenders, about 40 heavyweight ones claim their number one goal is to solve economic problems that have been growing during the past years. In order to see how these plans are feasible, we talked to some lawmakers regarding the objectives every hopeful must have in mind.
In every election, the economy is of great significance to people, especially at a time they've experienced tough times in the face of economic issues. Hopefuls make promises, but people must be watchful not to pin hope on their slogans. Their slogans must have a logical basis. In my opinion, what the country needs in terms of economy is a look at international capabilities. Of course, the sanctions are biting, but we can't say all our economic problems are because of the sanctions. Most of our economic issues are the result of not paying attention to domestic capabilities.
Another lawmaker told us the most important things the president must follow are transparency and accountability.
People expect the runners to be honest with them. They say the next president must have a comprehensive plan for the economic issues. It means the result of their plans must be seen in the economic basket of the families. Within the past 8 years, the government was waiting for decisions to be made outside the country. The next president should fight against corruption and injustice.
The MPs stressed that having good relations with the world for economic improvement is a must, but each country should rely on its own capabilities.
The livelihood of people and solving economic problems is the main slogan of most of the hopefuls for the 13th presidential election of Iran. They also say that they have detailed plans to improve the life quality of people. Human Abedi, Tehran.
For the second week in a row, a march in Paris for Palestine has been banned by the French authorities. The only authorized demonstration was a static gathering, but these restrictions had at least one positive outcome. It temporarily unified a broad spectrum of organizations. Trade unions, political parties, and many associations demonstrated all together against the Israeli war crimes and in favor of the Palestinian resistance. Long time not seen. The protesters also blamed the complicity of French President Macron with the Israeli war crimes.
It's totally hypocrisy. The French government does not condemn the colonization and the ethnic cleansing in Jerusalem. The French government only condemns Palestinians when they defend themselves. Now there is a generalized outrage of all the Palestinians in Gaza, in Jerusalem, in the West Bank, in occupied cities since 1948, and in the refugee camps. Today, all these organizations act together to support the Palestinian resistance.
Many protesters salute the recent ceasefire concluded between Israel and Hamas, but they say it's a very temporary and partial ceasefire.
We're all happy about the ceasefire, but this doesn't fix all remaining problems. The colonization of Palestine by Israel has to be stopped. The political prisoners have to be released, and the apartheid policy has to end. It's a shame for the entire world. Macron said that Israel has the right to defend itself. It's a scandal. You don't defend yourself by killing children.
French President Macron indeed condemned the rockets fired by Hamas by saying that Israel has the right to defend itself. At the same moment, entire families and children died in Gaza under the Israeli bombs. His statement scandalized a lot of people.
We all want sanctions against Israel, divestment and a boycott of Israeli products so that pressure will increase to stop the colonization of the Palestinian territories. We denounce the complicity of the French government with Israel. France is not putting any pressure on Israel. Even worse, France collaborates with Israel economically and militarily.
The international NGO Human Rights Watch called the policy of Israel against the Palestinian population apartheid. These are strong words and a reference to the South African apartheid system decades ago. That system has been overcome by international pressure. Time to do the same with Israel. The organizers here demand concrete sanctions against Israel from the French authorities and from the European Union. Chris Den Hond, Paris.
Yemenis have extended their congratulations to Palestinian people over the landmark victory of the resistance front against the criminal Israeli regime. They also say Yemen's financial support will persist until Palestinians regain all their usurped territories from the Zionist regime.
The victory of the Palestinian resistance was like a big blow to the Zionist enemy, who didn't expect the power of deterrence and the armed struggle that the Palestinian resistance showed in this battle, which prompted the Zionist entity to begin to recalculate its moves and declare a unilateral ceasefire in the beginning.
The spokesman for the anti-aggression parties of bloc lauded Iran for enhancing the financial and technical capabilities of Palestinian resistance factions. He said Iran has always been playing a key role in supporting the resistance front, mainly in Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria.
The Islamic Republic of Iran played a leading role via the Quds Force, which was led by Martyr Qasem Soleimani, and provided resistance fighters in Gaza with all kinds of weapons and training. There is also missile and financial support, and we thank the leadership in Iran for their unlimited support for the axis of resistance, whether in Palestine or Syria or in Lebanon.
During the 12 days of the Israeli aggression on Gaza, the Israeli attacks have killed scores of Palestinians, including women and children, and wounded more than 1,900 others, according to the Gazan Health Ministry, in what is said to be the fiercest war against Palestinians over the past 7 years.
Yemenis appraised the victory of the Palestinian resistance, saying it is a source of pride for the entire nation. They say this victory is the first step toward the full liberation of all occupied Palestinian territories. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
A ceasefire between Israel and Hamas took place on Friday after the worst violence in years, but some clashes broke out around Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem Al-Quds, where similar scenes touched off the Gaza conflict. Israel's bombardment of Gaza stopped after 11 days under a deal brokered by Egypt, which is negotiating with both sides on how to maintain stability. Right after the ceasefire, Palestinians took to streets in Gaza, embracing one another to celebrate the victory against Israel. Mosques also played the song of the victory of the resistance, and people in cars flew Palestinian flags. In order to look into different aspects of this victory, we attended a meeting in which Palestinian officials elaborated on the recent triumph.
It was a great victory for Palestinians because Israel lost around $2 billion following their defeat during this 11-day war. But they also lost billions of dollars as their propaganda machine failed, and all the world now knows about their media hype and the lies that they are trying to disseminate.
Iran's former ambassador to Jordan also talked to the reporters, saying that the Palestinian resistance is getting stronger day by day.
The blockaded Gaza is just 292 square kilometers, and it has been under siege for several years. But the Israeli regime didn't dare to conduct ground operations to occupy this small strip. It shows that Israel has suffered a strategic defeat this time again.
Finally, they set forth plans and ways on how to protect civilians during the wars.
panelists at this conference also congratulated Palestinians on their great victory against Israel. Human Abedi, Tehran.
South Korea is betting big on semiconductors, with the country's tech giants investing billions of dollars in new plants and the government providing tax breaks. South Korean President Moon Jae-in celebrated construction of new facilities last week.
Our companies are taking a further leap. Over the next decade, Korean chipmakers will invest over 510 trillion won, or 450 billion U.S. dollars. Samsung Electronics will construct large-scale production lines for memory semiconductors and system semiconductors at its factories in Pyeongtaek and Hwaseong. And SK Hynix will establish a large-scale production base in Yongin.
This year, a shortage of semiconductors caused production delays and suspensions worldwide. Even South Korea's major car manufacturers Hyundai and Kia had to shut down periodically for lack of the key component.
South Korea produces about 20% of the world's semiconductors. The industry also plays a very important role in the South Korean economy, accounting for 20% of the country's exports. And recently, the price of semiconductors has been quite high, increasing profitability.
Samsung is South Korea's largest company and number one semiconductor producer. But its de facto chief, Lee Jae-young, is in jail, creating a degree of uncertainty amid the massive investment plans.
Samsung's Lee Jae-young is scheduled to complete his 2.5-year prison term in July 2022 for bribing South Korea's former president. But calls are growing in many sectors, including almost two-thirds of the general public, according to a recent survey, for Lee to receive a presidential pardon, considering his company's importance to the South Korean economy.
Samsung is also reportedly planning to construct another U.S. plant with a $17 billion investment. President Moon this week visits the U.S. as American officials seek to reduce tech dependence on China. Frank Smith, Seoul.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Limelight. At a moment when U.S.-made bombs are devastating Gaza and killing women and children, we cannot simply let another huge arms sale go through without even a congressional debate, Sanders said in a statement recently. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Jake Johnson Ryder. This article is titled, U.S.-made bombs are devastating Gaza. Stay tuned for details, please. Joining his progressive allies in the House, Senator Bernie Sanders recently introduced a resolution of disapproval against the Biden administration's proposed sale of advanced weaponry to the Zionist regime. At a moment when U.S.-made bombs are devastating Gaza and killing women and children, we cannot simply let another huge arms sale go through without even a congressional debate, Sanders said in a statement recently. We need to take a hard look at whether the sale of these weapons is actually helping do that, or whether it is simply fueling conflict. The Senate measure, which under International Security and Arms Export Control Act of 1976 must receive a vote, aims to block the pending U.S. sale of $735 million worth of Boeing-made joint direct attack munitions and small diameter bombs that humanitarian groups warn would be used against civilians in the occupied Palestinian territories. During the Zionist regime's latest bombardment of Gaza, U.S.-made bombs and aircraft have been deployed to obliterate a building housing media offices and kill dozens of Palestinian civilians. Sanders' resolution came shortly after a group of House progressives led by Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, and Mark Pocan introduced a measure recently to block the proposed arms sale, which the Biden administration unveiled to Congress on May 5th. The United States should not be rubber-stamping weapon sales to Israel as they deploy our resources to target international media outlets, schools, hospitals, humanitarian missions, and civilian sites for bombing, Ocasio-Cortez said recently. She added, "We have a responsibility to protect human rights." To pass, resolutions of disapproval must receive simple majority support in both chambers. But even if the measures clear both the House and Senate, an unlikely prospect given the unwavering support Zionist regime enjoys from much of Congress, Joe Biden would still be able to use his veto power to push the arms sales through. Jamil Dakwar, director of the ACLU's Human Rights Program, said recently that despite the long odds of passage, the congressional resolutions are a big deal that show growing support among progressives in Congress to restrict or condition arms sales to the Zionist regime. The message to the Biden administration is powerful and clear. Unconditional support to the Israeli regime is wrong. The push to stop the Biden administration's weapon sales comes as the regime of right-wing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu resists international pressure to stop the bombing campaign, which has recently killed more than 220 people in Gaza. Amid the rubble, Palestinians in Gaza have found unexploded missiles with writing indicating these bombs were manufactured in the United States. The use of American-made weaponry in Israeli regime's latest assault on Gaza is renewing discussions on U.S. foreign assistance to the fake regime of Israel and U.S. complicity in Israeli regime's violence. The Zionist regime has also used GBU-39 small diameter and Mark 84 bombs in its recent onslaught. The GBU-31 and GBU-39 bombs are made by Boeing, and Mark 84 bombs are produced by General Dynamics. Both missiles are manufactured in the United States of America. Several posts on Twitter report F-15, F-16, and F-35 fighter jets have also been hovering over Gaza. And for further verification, the IAF's website boasts these three warplanes as part of its arsenal. Boeing makes the F-15 fighter jets and Lockheed Martin manufactures F-16 and F-35 warplanes. But these are not the only American corporations involved in the production of Zionist regime's military aircraft. General Electric produces the engines for F-15 and F-16 jets. Raytheon Technologies creates the missiles used to arm F-15 and F-35 planes. According to the American Friends Service Committee's investigative database, Northrop Grumman manufactures approximately 35% of the Lockheed Martin F-35 aircraft, including its center fuselage, radar, avionics, electro-optics, navigation, communications and identification subsystems, and mission systems and mission planning software. The arms manufacturer has also partnered with the Zionist regime military industry to build the listening targeting pod, a weapons laser navigation system used on F-16 warplane. Military sales to the Zionist regime generate massive profits for these American corporations. Boeing secured a $2.4 billion sale to the Zionist regime from the U.S. State Department last year. In February, the aerospace behemoth scored a whopping $9 billion deal with the Zionist regime's Ministry of War. In the last decade, Raytheon's contracts to the Zionist regime have totaled more than $4 billion. Lockheed Martin's most recent sale to the Zionist regime is estimated at more than $2 billion. In 2016, General Electric obtained part of the $300 million sale to the Zionist regime. Northrop Grumman is less transparent about its international sales. Out of Northrop Grumman's reported $36.8 billion in sales in 2020, 14% were international.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Lovely listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. We're proud to bring you this show only on IRB English Radio and, of course, in the studio as always. And, of course, in the studio, as always, I have my special guest and darling sister, Sister Razia Shamini. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Dear Zainab, happy to be here.
I'm totally excited to have you with us again so we can continue our active discussion. So we've been talking about the importance of spousal selection, right? And not just because I'm choosing a life partner for myself. I mean, look, you want to buy a car, you go ask a bunch of people, you go to like a bunch of car dealers, you check out all of your options, you check out the features of the car, you take it for a test drive. Mm-hmm. You know, you invest so much time, money, and energy into buying a good, decent car that fits your needs, accommodates to your requirements, and helps you get around. Basically, that's what a spouse is. I'm not really comparing life partner and soulmate to a car here. I'm not that inconsiderate. But I'm inconsiderate, but not that much. But I'm saying that at the end of the day, you know, we help each other out. لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. you are their garments, they are your garments, right? So when it comes to choosing a spouse, I feel like aside from your intuition, aside from falling in love, aside from that gut feeling, aside from vibing with each other, really connecting and this and that, having things in common and both liking, I don't know, Whopper Burger at Burger King, and enjoying watching reruns of Friends with a bowl of popcorn every weekend, there should be like really concrete standards there. But at least you do your best to guarantee that this is going to work out.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, like, I've passed my stage of, you know, choosing a spouse. And I'm thinking about my daughter.
Oh, my God, yes.
And it is certainly one of the most sensitive decision one is going to make in life. And I'm just speechless. There's so many different things come to my mind, and I just don't know which one of them to consider or to look at.
Exactly. Just as all things, we just have to trust in God.
Yeah, trust in God. But besides that, we have to be super wise and super careful. Exactly. You can just say, inshallah, you'll be good. Inshallah, she'll be good. No. Yeah. I mean, go do whatever search you can. I mean, it's a two-decade effort thing that, like, how you bring your daughter or your son up, how you work on yourself throughout the process of parenting as a mom, as a Muslim lady, or as a Muslim man, gentleman. And then the little choices that you have to make in life when your daughter or your son, like, is at the verge of getting married. Like, a close friend of ours, they have a son who's 21. He kind of fell in love with someone. And then in the past couple of days, we've been, our whole family has been involved with this situation where they've met each other for 2 months. And the girl is not that religious. I mean, like, she doesn't observe the hijab, but she's a good girl. You know, she's been brought up in a good family. She has a very caring dad who expresses his love. His
healthy
love
relationship
to her.
With the parents is
exactly.
really good.
They're a good family, but they don't really observe so many of the, like, the hijab thing they don't observe, but they do pray, they do fast. This guy is super religious, and he's into acts of charity. He's only 21. He has, like, found out his path in life. He has chosen an education that, like, clearly shows him what kind of work he wants to do. He has a business besides his university. Like, he's a pretty established guy. And he does a lot of charitable acts, you know, taking food to the needy and all the time. He's just 21 and he's doing all this, right? So we're like so happy for them that they're getting married.
So what was it about this girl that got him in love?
I don't know.
Ah, that's scary. See, sometimes they fall in love based on mutual interests and passions and goals in life. You're like, okay, they've built it on something already and it's sustainable throughout their lives. But when it's like one of those puppy love kind of moments where, you know, they just fell for each other, then it's kind of iffy. You've got to be careful about it.
I haven't talked to the boy or the girl because they didn't want to expose any of their feelings, or they didn't want other people to, like, get close
involved,
to them. And,
right?
Like, yeah, they actually showed in a way that we don't want anyone except besides our parents to be in this situation. But she's a very decent girl. I mean, she has good akhlaq. She's very kind. She's very caring, you know. So she has, like, and she's only 16, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's only 16. Marriage at a very young age. I mean, this is a very diverse question. It's like people have, like, this question that should we wait until we get, like, in our 30s or late 20s where we quite know what we're after, what we know, what we want in our life, or should marriage be at a very
early
young
age?
And then I was studying about sterility or infertility, that in the West, Western men have compared in the past 40 decades, they have become 50% less fertile. And this is a wow thing, right? And women, by the in their 30s, they start to have little, less and less fertility because of their biological and hormonal things in their body. And by the time they're 40, it's like they have lost so much of their fertility ability, right? And I'm thinking that, well, in this world that I'm living, and many people, many so-called wise and open-minded people are saying, well, you know, I think a girl should get married in her 30s and a boy in his early 40s. So the statistics, the truth out there is showing you that you're going to get extinct if you're going to continue this way, right? Mm. So on the one hand, we have this scenario. And then on the other hand, we have like people telling people that you have to get married at a young age. And this case scenario that I just explained, we got so happy. We're like, alhamdulillah, you know, these guys, these this couple, you know, this boy and girl, they're so young and their parents are so supportive of them. And if things go well, they were so in love.
So you could give an if you could advise this young couple based on the discussion that we're having now in a vertical line of the points that you'd want to share, what advice would you give to them?
To move very slowly and carefully and wisely. And
how?
Do not make
like
decisions based on instinct and
impulses,
emotions.
Yeah. Right.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email that is englishradio@irib.ir.
This guy went to, they live in different cities.
The situation just keeps getting more and more complicated.
They
fell in love
during the Nowruz time.
New Year's.
The New Year's, right?
Oh, so they kind of met at a family environment.
Exactly.
And cling.
Exactly.
Oh my
it was
God.
The first time meeting each other. Oh. Guy, he's so
smitten.
He's so like firm, like he doesn't fall in love with anyone.
Oh, okay.
He's like one of those guys, he puts a ruler and then you know, he has like clear-cut borders in his life. And then we were like, wow, he fell in love. I'm just mentioning these not as a chit-chat. I'm mentioning these as a reality because people don't want to know like this hadith only, that Rasulullah said this and this ayah in the Quran said that. You know, alhamdulillah, things are well. These are practical incidences in life. He went to her city to meet up, of course, with the families involved. And then suddenly he's like, I think I don't want her.
That's good. That's great.
Well, he's like, he doesn't know what he wants.
I think that's very, very good. Kudos to him.
And she's crying and he's crying and, you know, things are getting very complicated. I'm just saying, and the reason they encountered this problem was that because they moved very swiftly and they acted based on their... based on the emotions of the two
children.
The parents were like, okay, they love each other, so let them, you know, let them meet, let them to go out. But then, you know, the parents, I think it's the problem, the mistake of the parents that allowed them to get, you know, to move so swiftly in this process. Mm. So, but, you know, now the process slowed. They're going to counselor. The two of them, alhamdulillah, they can sit down and they can think more
wisely.
They have
space to themselves now, right? That's very important.
That's very good.
To define a healthy boundary, you know? Because in that first few months of getting to know someone in a relationship, you could be experiencing that honeymoon phase, you know? Where you're falling in love, it's young love,
exactly.
It's sweet,
exactly.
It's beautiful, it's exciting, you know. You get the surge of oxytocin in your body, and everything is just so wonderful. And you're looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. And it's really hard to pick a person apart and really have an intelligent, coherent, logical analysis of their character, right?
Right.
So I think it's very important, like you said, for parents to teach and help their children. For those
process.
Who advocate
young
marriage,
marriages.
To create those healthy boundaries, give that child a space to sit, reflect, ponder, really think whether this person and their characteristics and attributes are compatible with what I have aligned for my future?
Exactly.
Does it match? Like you said, are we pieces of the same puzzle?
Right.
Because we could be pieces of different puzzles, but because, you know, I just like the colors on her piece so much, I want to be a part of her picture. It's a possibility. I'm just saying. I mean, love is so beautiful.
Yeah.
So we've got like a minute and a half left. Let's talk more about what other thoughts and advices would you share with people in such situations.
I think three criterions that this boy had that mm-hmm. made the family of the girl to fall in love with him were three things that are actually recommended in the Islamic traditions and Islamic teachings. Number one, to be a very good-tempered person in the face of, you know, in social interactions, in family interactions, someone who is patient, someone who's not aggressive, someone who's not foul, who doesn't have a foul language or who doesn't have a bad tongue. All these were seen in that boy that we were talking about. So these three are very important. And there is a beautiful tradition or narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that says, "Man zawaja karimatahu min fasiq nazala alayhi kulla yawm alfu la'na." Whoever marries his daughter,
his noble daughter
to a corrupt man, every day there will be thousands of curse upon him.
Oof.
Right? So this means the responsibility of parents. Right? It doesn't say that, you girl, you know, be careful about this. Because assuming that we have young couples, young boys and girls getting married, so we need the supervision, we need the help, we need the special care and attention of parents.
Yeah.
So they have a very great, huge responsibility.
Absolutely.
So we are talking about preconception.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, this family thing, you say, yes, I'm in the good, bad, and bad moments of your life. It goes for ages, for decades, for many years of your life, for generations,
lineage.
Right?
Yeah.
So be mindful, be very careful what you're doing.
So three criteria. One was being
good akhlaq.
Uh-huh.
Not to be aggressive, not to have violence,
mm-hmm.
and not to have a bad language, bad tongue.
Yes, these are very good attributes to look for in anyone,
right.
Especially a spouse, right?
Especially a man. We're talking about a man.
Angry,
right?
Aggressive, foul-mouthed men are scary.
Exactly.
They're like borderline abusive. Actually, no, they're actually abusive.
Right.
That's all the time we have for today's episode of Muslim Lady. Thank you, Razia, darling.
Thank you.
And thank you for our listeners for being with us. Make sure to tune in to further episodes of the show here on IRB English Radio. Until then, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.